Last week we started a new series called I Have a Question, and I invited you to ask the questions you may have, the things that you have been saying, you know what, I believe in Jesus, but I don't understand. Or, I don't quite get any of this yet, and so I have questions about this, this, and this, and we collected those questions, and they were actually put in that box in the back corner. And I want to make that invitation again. If you have a question about God that you have been wondering about, question about, you know what, I believe in Jesus, but I've just been struggling through this, I invite you to take any piece of paper you want, or you can grab one of those that says, I have a question. Write your question out and put it in the box, and we'll start to go over these over the next weeks. And so I'm not sure how long exactly the series will take, but I think week one there was about, I want to say 15 questions. And so that's like 15 weeks right there. But we'll kind of be kind of in and out of this series throughout the year. And so like next week, we won't be in that series, and then on Easter, we won't be in this series, but then we'll pick it up after Easter again, and so you kind of know what's going on. If you would, start with me, let's turn to Proverbs. Proverbs 2, 1 through 6, and this is the heart behind this series, the heart behind seeking an answer, heart behind seeking wisdom from God. And so that's the heart that I'm hoping that we will all approach this series with. And so I want to start by reading through that and then kind of reiterating the points behind this very quickly as we begin. Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 6, we read this. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, listening closely to wisdom and directing your heart to understanding. Furthermore, if you call out to insight, if you lift up your voice to understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you will help us to come with this heart. Come with a seeking heart. Come with a surrendering heart to you, Lord. Lord, a submissive heart to you, really wanting to know the truth from your word, humbly approaching you, Lord. And so, Lord, as we ask these questions and seek wisdom within your word, I pray that you'll answer them. I pray that you'll bring clarity and understanding where there is questioning now. Lord, I pray that you will help us to humbly come before you and submissively submit to the Holy Spirit's work in our lives as your word is revealed. Lord, speak today, I pray. I pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. As we've worked through this passage last week in depth, I want to remind you again the heart that is here. In verse 1, we see the words, if you accept my words. This is a selecting heart, a heart that selects to submit to the word of God. In verse 1 and 2, we see these words, store up my commands, listen closely, direct your heart to understanding. This is a heart that is seeking, directing, listening, storing up. And so you're really seeking to know what God is saying. And so we have to have a seeking heart as we ask these questions. Next, we need a submissive heart. In verse 3, it says this, call out to insight. Lift up your voice to understanding. This is a heart that is admitting a need for an answer. A heart that's submitting to God's will, willing to follow his word. And then in verse 4, we see a heart that desires the truth of God. One that seeks it like silver and searches for it like treasure. This leads to a humble heart. As we understand the fear of the Lord and his amazing all-powerfulness, as we discover the knowledge of the Lord and discover that he is the one who is all-knowing. In this heart, a selecting heart, a seeking heart, a submissive heart, a heart desiring God's truth, a humble heart, this is the heart that's ready for an answer, as it says in verse 6, an answer will be found from the Lord, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And so I invite each of us to come with that kind of heart today. As I read through these questions, there wasn't one repeat, which is kind of crazy. They are all different. And so the question began in my life, well, where do I start? I'm not sure exactly where to start. And so I started reading through the questions. I read through them three or four times and kind of put them in different groups as far as this. This is more of a teaching truth section. This is more of a, okay, how do I know this section? And this is more of a Old Testament section and a kind of a foundational section leading into the New Testament. And so I tried to separate them in that way. And even that was imperfect. And so as I looked through these, it was kind of like packing. You ever packed for a trip? And there's certain things that we go through when we pack for a trip. We start to think through, okay, how many days am I going to be gone? Do I have a washing machine there that I can wash clothes? Okay, if I do, then I can pack less than if I didn't. If I'm gone 7 days with no washing machine, I need 7 pairs of clothes and maybe one spare because I have kids. Yes. And so I start to work through those things. Okay, do I need pillows? Am I going to have a place to sleep when I'm there? Or do I need like pillows and blankets for the kids? Those things I start to work through. What kind of medications do I need as far as, maybe you need medications, place you're going to have a headache, I don't know. And so as far as like vitamins, how many vitamins do I need to pack? And so on and so on. Am I going someplace special that I need special gear like hiking gear or sports gear or winter clothes or shorts and a swimsuit? Where am I going? So you start to think through these things as you pack. Rachel and I have kind of a system while we pack, and I'm not sure she likes it, but I like it. It works well. I pack my stuff. She packs everything else. No. that way it's not forgotten. No, so I pack my stuff and get my vitamins ready and all this stuff. And she packs her stuff and I get her vitamins ready and she gets her toiletry stuff ready. I'm not sure if that's the right word. And I put it in my thing. I call it a DOP kit because that's what I was told as a kid that it's called. But sometimes when I say DOP kit to people, they look at me and go, what? A what kit? DOP kit. I don't know. That's what I put it in. It's a little thing that holds all my stuff that I need toiletry wise. And so I get it all ready. And then we say this to the kids. Hey, we're going for 7 days. Go get 7 outfits. And then as soon as we say that, we regret saying that because nothing is going to match. They're all going to get shorts out and we're going somewhere in the winter. Things like this go through our heads. And so we have them go get their stuff ready and then we put it all back away and we get the real stuff ready. There's like one of them who's the oldest is really good at this, but the rest kind of struggle through this. And so that's kind of the order. But then there's an essential. There's one thing that I need to take on vacation. I have to pack my CPAP machine. I need to have that. Because I've been told that it's essential for me to live. Not only by the doctor, but by Rachel. Threats of smothering have happened if I don't take my CPAP machine. And so the reality is I need this thing on vacation. And so a few years ago, we went on vacation and we packed everything and we had it all ready and we went on our trip and we got to our destination and we're unpacking everything and I get my CPAP machine out and I fill it with water and I get it ready to go and I go to plug it in and there is no cord. I had everything. The mask, the machine. Without the cord, it's an ugly bedside decoration with a giant hose that makes me look like an elephant while I sleep. You have to have that cord. That cord gives that machine life, which gives me life. That's how it works. And so as I started looking through these, there's one question that stood out. That is a must to answer first thing. Because this is essential for life. This is essential for hope. Without answering this question, we are stuck on our own and we are hopeless. And so the question is this, how do we know if we are saved? How do we know if we are saved? For the person who asked that, I want to commend you for being so concerned about something that important. We're talking about eternity here. This is so important. I want to quote Billy Graham because I've been seeing a lot of Billy Graham quotes lately, and this is a pretty good one. It says this, "Probably everyone has had doubts and uncertainties at times in his or her religious experience." And he points to the Israelites that had just been saved out of captivity from Egypt, and they're at Mount Sinai, and Moses goes up on Mount Sinai, and he's getting the words from the Lord, the handwritten tablets from the Lord. And he had been up there, from what the Israelites determined, a little too long. And they started doubting. And they started wondering, questioning. But their doubts and their questions and their wonders led the opposite way of God and led them into idol worship. Today, I want to invite us to look into God's Word, to see, first of all, that God wants you to know that you are saved, or if you are saved. God wants you to know that. For years, I struggled with that as a teenager. And I believe I struggled with that because I was not saved at that point. I've been raised in church my entire life, and many of you have heard this testimony, but maybe one of you needs to hear this testimony today. I've been raised in church my entire life from the moment I was born. I'm not sure I wasn't born in a pew, but I might have been born in a pew. I don't know. But I think I was born on like a Monday and I was in church on a Wednesday. That's how soon I was in church. And I never missed a day unless I was over a toilet vomiting or something like that, which happened like twice or something. And so we're talking Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, my entire life going to church. I knew all the Bible answers. If you want to take me on in a Bible quiz, I would take you on and then take you out. That's how it worked. And so I knew it all. But I was struggling in uncertainty. I had prayed a prayer as a kid. I had been baptized as a kid. I had followed the crowd up to the front of the church because we called it going forward. And I had prayed a prayer, but I did not understand what I was doing. I didn't get it. And so I sat there struggling in uncertainty, relying on my works, thinking God loves me more the more I do for Him. And when God loves me less because I mess up, and I kept on struggling and struggling through that. It wasn't until a summer before my senior year of high school, when I was at a camp, that a pastor said very simple words, "If you don't know for sure if you die today, that you would go to heaven, let's get that squared away. Let's figure that out. You can know." And so that day I responded. And I thought I was going to respond by a recommitment, but I was so uncertain, so back and forth in my faith, that I said, "You know what? I'm not going to sit here and say I know that I'm going to heaven and just recommit my life. I want to know for sure. I'm going to give my life to Christ now." And that day I responded to the gift of grace, the gift of salvation that is found in Christ alone, and solidified it. So I didn't question it anymore. And so the reality is, I sat there in my religious life, living the good life, but I was mixed up thinking that good life was going to save me. And it wasn't. Because if I had died before that, I would have gone to hell. Jesus was my only hope. And we're going to get into that more. But I want to just say to you, no matter where you're at right now, if you're struggling with it, you don't have to. Let God's word be your guide. Let God's word, as you humbly come before Him, seeking Him, responding to Him, let Him assure you that you can know. Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd in John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd, verse 14. I know my sheep and they know me. It doesn't say, I know my sheep and they wonder if they know me. It says, and they know me. Going on, it says, I give them, actually, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. So there's a response. I know them and they follow me. There's a response there. I give them eternal life and they will never perish ever. It doesn't say may never perish. It says will never perish ever. No one will snatch them out of my hands. Not no one may snatch them out of my hands, or they might possibly be snatched out of my hands. It's no one will snatch them out of my hands. Don't you think God wants you to know? Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not may be saved. Not perhaps be saved, but will be saved. God wants you to know. So how do we get to the point where we do know? Well, the Bible says this. And before we read this verse, I want to ask you this question. What's the opposite of doubt? Faith, right? The opposite of wondering and doubt is faith. And so it says this. So faith, and this is Romans 10:17. So faith comes from what is heard. Where does faith come? From what is heard. And what is heard comes from the message about Christ. And so for us to have faith, we need to get into the message about Christ. And where do we find the message about Christ? How do we have the opposite of doubt? Faith. We get into God's word to find the message about Christ so that we can have faith and assurance in the message that is proclaimed and know that we are saved. These words are recorded. They are God's word recorded by God's men that he chose to write out his words. This message is the message about Jesus, the message of salvation. This is beginning at the very beginning in the hopelessness that started after God's perfect creation and then his plan to redeem people. This is the message of Christ. These men that recorded God's word, they were tortured, beaten, imprisoned, beheaded, torn in half. These men recorded God's word and then they stood on it till death. No one recanted because this was the truth. Jesus had invaded and changed their life forever. And so they stood on the truth till death. John says this in 1 John, pointing to the message of Christ. 1 John 5:11-13, and this is the testimony. This is the testimony. This is the message. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. The one who has the Son has life. The one who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Not question that you have eternal life, but know. This is an eyewitness account of Jesus, of his words, of his actions, of his message, of the hope that we have in him. So what is the message? What is the testimony recorded by those who walked with Christ? I'm going to make it simple. As simple as possible. We're not going to be 1,000 different places. We're just going to walk through one verse for each point so that we can understand this in its simplicity. God has a plan. God's plan is for you to have peace in life in Him. God loves you so much that He wants you to experience peace in life in Him. The Bible says this, and it's very, very familiar, John 3:16. For God loved the world in this way. His love for you was shown in this way. His love for me was shown in this way. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. God's plan is for us to not perish but have eternal life in His Son. God wants you to know Him. God wants you to have eternal life. But you know what? There's a problem. There is a problem. There is something that has separated us from God. It is not a given that we will naturally have this peace in life with God, because something has separated us from God. By nature, we are automatically separated from that peace because we are sinners. Romans 3:23 says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Every single one of us is a sinner, and we fall so short of God's and His standard. There's nothing that we can do that will reach that standard. Good works, religious practice, obedience of rules, we are still separated as sinners. But you know what? God has a remedy for that. God had a plan to change all of that. And that plan took place on the cross. That was God's plan. God bridged the gap that no action that we do could ever bridge. 1 Peter 2:24 says this, "He Himself," speaking of Jesus, "He Himself bore our sin in His body on the tree, so that having died to sin, we might live for righteousness. You have been healed by His wounds." See, Jesus Christ took our sin on Himself on the cross, and He died for us so that we can have hope in healing in Him alone. But there's a response. There's a response that is needed here. It is a free gift that's sitting here for you to have. Eternal life in Jesus Christ alone. But there is a response. You have to respond and receive Jesus. You become part of God's family when you receive Jesus. You become forgiven. You become a child of God when you receive Jesus. You have hope, relationship, purpose when you receive Jesus. John 1 verse 12 says this, "But to all who did receive Him, He gave them the right to be called children of God," or to be children of God, as the Holman says. "But to all who did receive Him, He gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in His name." So how do you receive Jesus? Just break it down into this. This is simple. Admit. Admit your spiritual need that you are a sinner. Admit it. Repent. Be willing to turn from your sinfulness to follow Jesus. Believe. Believe that Jesus died for you on the cross. That he paid the penalty due to you and to me. And then receive it. Through prayer, ask Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life. Admit that you're a sinner. Repent and turn from your sins to follow Jesus. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and receive through prayer Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life. See, Jesus says this in Revelation 3:20. Listen, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and have dinner with him and he with me. This is a relationship picture restored. Jesus is standing there at the door knocking. Respond to me. I have made it so you can have life. I have made it so you can have a relationship with God. It's not your works. It's not anything you have done. It's what I have done and I have done alone, Jesus says. And he's standing there knocking, waiting for you to respond. When you respond by opening the door to him, by receiving him, admitting, repenting, believing, receiving, and he will come in, he says. He will come in. We also read in Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you want to know for sure? Call in the name of the Lord today. Respond to him today. Receive to him today. There's no magical words. I used to think as a kid there was this magical prayer. Not as far as like magic goes, but like there was this word for word prayer you had to recite, and that's not true. But there are some things that we're told in Scripture as far as admitting our sinfulness and our need that is key. And so I want to invite you, if you would, right now, put down your pens, put down your paper, bow your head with me. And if today you have been questioning, wondering, how do I know I can be saved? I hope that this is clear that God wants you to be saved. God has a plan for your life, but there's a problem. We are sinners, but God had a remedy, the cross. Jesus Christ took our penalty on the cross, and what you gotta do is you gotta respond. Receive him. Admit your need. Repent from your sin. Believe in Jesus Christ and receive him into your heart as Lord and Savior of your life. And so let's bow our heads, and I want to lead you in a prayer. If you've never prayed to accept Christ before, I want to invite you to, in your head, repeat this. You want to repeat it out loud, go ahead, but respond to Jesus now. See, you don't have to wonder, because if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Let's pray. Dear God, I know that I am a sinner. I want to turn from my sins. I ask you to forgive me. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died for my sins. I believe that he rose again and I can have life in him. I want him to come into my heart. I want him to take control of my life. I want to trust Jesus as Savior and follow him as Lord from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to tell you this. If you've been wondering and you called out to Jesus just now, you are saved. You're forgiven. Your sins are gone. Bible says you are white as snow. Made new in Jesus. What an amazing hope we have in Jesus Christ. He did it because he said he would. You can go back to those verses over and over and over and keep on holding on to that promise. You can know you're saved because God said it, and so he did it. If you did pray that prayer today, I have some little packets for you that you can take home on your way out that'll kind of reiterate what we talked about today in this part. And they're actually on the chair to the right as you go out, and they're stapled together. There's one that's for those who just gave their life to Christ just now. And there's another one that you may be saying, you know what? I did pray that prayer, and I knew for a long time that I was going to heaven, that I had hope in Jesus Christ, but I'm struggling right now. There's another form on the back of that one. There's two pieces of paper. If you've prayed that prayer and you need to remind yourself of the hope you have in Christ, grab both of those and just walk through those. They're really good. They're put out by Billy Graham and his whole ministry. And so I invite you to grab those and take those home. And so they're just really good. I want to ask you this, though, as we go into our closing. Maybe you would say, you know what, Rick, I prayed that prayer a long time ago and I knew I was going to heaven, but I have really been struggling. Let me ask you this. Have you been deliberately sinful in your life? That you have denied Christ and followed your own way? Have you forgotten to stay connected to the things that we're called to do in our life? Have you been unconcerned about spiritual things? Given up faithful attendance to church? Given up faithful Bible reading? Given up prayer? Those could be very real reasons of why you are struggling right now. And so I want to invite you to, on the same token, respond to Jesus again. Repent from where you're at. Determine to get rid of the sin in your life, asking for his help, making things right with those maybe you're sinning against. And the result will be a renewed friendship, a renewed relationship with Christ. Let me read you some of these verses. 1 John 1:9 says this about repentance. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not some unrighteousness, but all unrighteousness. If you've been struggling because of sin or struggling because you've been unfaithful to God, then repent and turn from that. Determine to get rid of that sin in your life and ask for his help. Proverbs 28:13 says this, the one who conceals his sin will not prosper. But whoever confesses, asking Jesus for his help, asking Jesus for his forgiveness, and renounces them, will find mercy. There's a confession and a turning from. Maybe you need to make things right with someone else as well. Acts 24:16 says, I always do my best to have a clear conscience towards God and man. So, respond in that way for the restored fellowship that is the promise of those who repent, who determine to get out of that sin, to confess and ask Christ for forgiveness and help, renouncing it, turning from the old. It says this, but if you walk, this is 1 John 1:7, but if you walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's speaking of God as well, with one another in God. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all of our sins. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you're not struggling in sin, rejecting God and following your own way. Maybe you're not at the point where you have rejected your biblical understanding and walked away from church and walked away from Bible reading and walked away from prayer. Maybe Satan is attacking you. And you just need to remind yourself of the promises that are in God's word. Acts 27:25 says this, "Therefore take courage, men, because I believe God that it will be just the way it was told to me." I believe God that it will be just the way it was told to me. Stand on the promises that God said and rely on the fact that they will be just the way God said they would be. And continue to remind yourself of the promises you have of salvation in Christ alone. And don't let Satan mess with you. He's gonna attack you. He's gonna try to get you to doubt. Do you realize that's exactly how he worked in the garden? And that's exactly how he has worked throughout time? He works on doubt and disbelief. If you have surrendered to Christ, responded to him, whether you did it today, yesterday, or right now, you are saved in Christ. Amen. Remind yourself of that as Satan attacks. Acts 16:31 says, "So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." It goes on to say, "you and your household." This is a response not only for you, not only for me, but a response that is needed by every single person in your house and every single person in the world. The only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ alone. Only way. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, not from your works. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast." You are saved by grace through faith in who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And I end with this. 1 John 4:15. "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the promises from your word. Lord, if there's someone here today that for the very first time responded to you, or even they've been struggling through this and they said, "you know what, I just want to nail it down now because I have been struggling through doubt too long." If they called out to you, put their faith and trust in you alone, help them to know the promises that are in your word are true and they are saved. They don't have to wonder anymore. They don't have to doubt anymore. We can stand on your word. And Lord, if there's someone here that has been struggling in sin or has turned away from the things that help us stay connected to you, of getting into your word and prayer and being with the church, Lord, I pray that they will repent and turn from that and turn back to you today. Lord, and if Satan attacks and he tries to get us to doubt, may we remind ourselves of the truth within your word and the promise that we are saved in you, Jesus. Thank you so much for the hope that we can know and that you want us to know, and that you are an amazing, loving Father that doesn't sit there and say, I don't want them to know, but you want us to know that we are yours, that we are your children, and you are our Father. Thank you for that hope. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. If today you responded to Jesus in any way, shape, or form, as far as, you know what, I have been doubting, I have been questioning, I would love to know that. I would love to help you in your walk from this point on. I would love to come beside you or to put somebody beside you that'll say, hey, I'll help you. I'll disciple you. I'll walk with you. You're not on your own. God's design is for us to be in the church and to walk together in the church. That's the design. And so you are not meant to be on your own after responding to Jesus. He had several disciples, not one disciple. And when he died, just one was on his own. No, there was a bunch of them. They walked together, stayed together, helped each other. So I encourage you to respond today, not only in how you are responding and stand on that, but respond by telling someone today. Whether it's the person next to you, whether it's me, whether it's somebody else in the church, tell them that today you have hope. Today you gave your life to Christ. Today you became a child of God. Let us rejoice with you. We'd love to walk with you in your walk with Jesus Christ. Let's stand and let's sing together.